my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
From the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, it's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Hurd. I'm your host. It's our weekly Vanderbilt football player interview on this Thursday, October 8th, before the Commodores take on the Gamecocks on Saturday at 11 a.m. at Vanderbilt Stadium in their third game of the year. Our guest this week is redshirt sophomore tight end Ben Bresnahan. Bresnahan is from Cumming, Georgia, and he has quickly become Vanderbilt's number one tight end this year. Last year as a redshirt freshman, he had 7 catches for 105 yards, playing behind Jared Pinkney. And this year so far, 6 catches for 59 yards through a couple of games, including his first collegiate touchdown on an 8-yard pass from Ken Seals, Vanderbilt's only score Saturday in the 41-7 loss to LSU. We'll talk a lot about the offense, talk a lot about tight end involvement in the offense, and talk a little X's and O's too, so hopefully you enjoy it. Ben Bresnahan on the Anchor Down Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Yesterday, I asked Vanderbilt head coach Derek Mason what makes Ben Bresnahan the right tight end one for this team.
Yeah, I think Ben possesses all the skills that you want. I mean, he can, block, in line. Man, he came out of high school as a really good route runner, and now, man, it's really starting to show for him. Ben's going to have more targets. I mean, he can open up in the middle of the field. I think, he can run option routes. He can run the route tree. And that's been fun to watch. Again, as a freshman, obviously he had the ACL, injury, but, coming back off that, a year ago, I think, man, you saw, glimpses of what he can do. And, now, the offense is really his. And, Fitch really knows how to utilize him, but I mean, he's got to become a bigger target. A lot of these guys have to become bigger targets, but it's like anything else. It takes a little bit of time. Everybody's starting to, work a little harder, to make sure we can gel, like we need to. And so, expect big things from Ben this year. I think Ben's going to do, what he can, and he's going to be productive in this offense.
Ben Bresnahan's on the line. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, Max. I'm really looking forward to it.
I asked Derek Mason this same question in his press conference yesterday. What makes Ben Bresnahan a good fit as the tight end one in this year's Vanderbilt offense?
I mean, I'm just trying to kind of do what they asked me to do, which is a combination of not just receiver and not just block. It's really kind of both in our offense. And bringing Coach Fitch is, we're passing a lot more, and we still have to have a great running game. So just trying to help out where I can with trying to be the best blocker and the best receiver I can be.
Was it pretty quick with Coach Fitch where he realized, hey, this is the guy we want to build around at the tight end position? He fits what I want to do?
I mean, I think in our room, like, we have a couple guys who are, we're all pretty athletic guys who can do some of the receiving stuff and are, like, big enough. And, with our coaches in tight end room, we're always coaching fundamentals, so we're fundamentally sound on the blocking side of things too. So I feel like we're all a great fit for the role that Coach Fitch brought in. So it's just like kind of, obviously you see that we're doing a bunch of 12 stuff too, and we're all kind of getting some reps. So it's just kind of great to see that the whole room is still being utilized in Coach Fitch's offense.
What's it like for you lining up mostly in the slot?
I mean, I enjoy it. In high school, I was coming out of high school receiver. I was sitting at 210, 215. I was a little guy. But now they got me obviously 245, at least 215 in the SEC at tight end. So I had to put on some weight and then, still be agile against the backers. And I just really enjoy being able to split out and still have to go against the big ends and linebackers in SEC too. So being able to have that weight on and kind of core of the offense too, to be able to block too. So, I mean, just love both sides of it.
What have you seen so far in terms of the different types of players and guys from different positions that opposing teams have tried to guard you with through two games?
I mean, it's been different. Like, you know, LSU last week, they kind of had some nickel defense. They did a lot of four downs, so I was, like, kind of on some ends. And then I was also out on some of their backers and their kind of nickel package, their nickel back. And then same thing with A&M. It was some of the nickel package as well. I mean, they did mostly four down as well. So, I mean, I was on ends whenever we were in the, like, running inside, and I was on the nickel sometimes. And so, I mean, it was just a mix. And sometimes linebacker, whatever, mixed out. So, I mean, it's kind of have to go against, be ready. I mean, just kind of have to know the body type you're going up against and just relate to him as, like, if you can big body him or if you have to use a little finesse. And, you know, I try to, I mean, we work at that every single day, how to do both. So that's kind of helped out.
If you could pick your matchup realistically, who would you want guarding you? Who's the best matchup for Ben Bresnahan?
I'd say, I mean, anybody. I feel like I have, like, they've coached me up where I have enough, you know, speed and agility where I can get by linebackers, and I have enough size and strength to get over nickel packages and stuff like that. So, like, really, whatever you're throwing at, hopefully we're getting at them and we're going to score and do well on offense.
Ben Bresnahan, Vandy football tight end, is our guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. You were matched up against a defensive back on your first college touchdown this weekend, so congratulations on that. I want to talk about that play that came in the second quarter, cut the LSU lead to 14-7 at the time. It was trips on one side of the formation. You were in that trips originally on the right, or three receivers on the right. Wasn't truly a trips. And then you guys look back to the sideline, and the three of you go over to the left, which is the wider side of the field, as you played from the right hash. What level of communication is that? And when you guys switch on a play like that, does the play change, or does it just flip?
I mean, we kind of have, like, the what our script is going to be in the red zone coming in. So we were really well prepared for what we were going to do. And we saw that we were going to the wide side, and that's where we were sending the trips to. And we liked how we knew kind of what coverage they were playing down there in the red zone. So, I mean, Kim Johnson did a great job on the inside, taking the safety with him and the guy who was manned on him. So then I opened up on the outside of him. So it worked out really well.
If you're next to Cam, do you kind of expect that double to happen every time and leave something for you?
I mean, it depends on the coverage, you know, but I mean, obviously Cam's a great, like, threat in the slot and outside. So, I mean, obviously defenses really have to key on him coming into the week. So it is nice. And now I hope that me, him, all the guys on offense are really just a matchup nightmare for anybody we're going against. So they don't know who to double, who to, like, put on single coverage, and they can't really decide. So that's a hope we get to in the next couple weeks here.
So that play change was really just switching the side of the field. Is that correct for me to say? You guys weren't changing anything else there?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. So in situations at the line of scrimmage, what type of power and kind of independent ability to change the play does Ken have at this point, and how much are you guys adding week by week?
I mean, yeah, I feel like Ken, I mean, Ken's a smart dude. Obviously, it was great for him to come in the spring and get some, I mean, even though it was, you know, COVID and we only got four practices, and that was still huge for him, and, like, at least being around the guys, and it's kind of given some more time with Coach Fitz too, so, like, he has more leeway to do what he wants to run with the offense here. And, I mean, he has the ability to check when he needs to against what front or whatever it is and what defense, but I feel like Ken does a great job with it, and we have a great game plan going in, so we know what Luke looks to check out of and stuff like that, so.
Talking with Ben Bresnahan, Vanderbilt tight end, here on the Anchor Down podcast. Todd Fitch seems like a funny dude. He's been really funny in the interviews when we've gotten to talk with him, mostly over Zoom, unfortunately, but he really cracks me up with some of the things he says. What is your funniest Todd Fitch story so far?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good one. I mean, he always just brings great energy. I'm trying to think. I mean, dang, I don't know if I have a specific one. I mean, obviously, just every single day, he's kind of just the upbeat tempo, and, like, you're always going to expect some great energy for him. So that's what we really love coming into this year with the offense. But I don't know if I have a specific one for you, really.
Derek Mason said yesterday that Coach Fitch knows how to use his tight ends really, really well, and that's shown so far with you, Justin Ball, and then Gavin Schoenwald and Joel DeCourcy as well. I want to talk about last year, though. Jared Pinkney playing in front of you did not get the target share that he was looking for. What did you think about how Jared's 2019 season went?
I mean, it was tough for, I mean, all of us, really. I mean, you saw, like, numbers or whatever it was, but, like, we still try to approach every single week like it was, and same with Pank. He was, I mean, we were all in there approaching week like we were trying to go 1-0, and I mean, obviously it didn't work out the way that we all planned for it to, and it was tough with, like, kind of a couple different QBs filtering in there, and, like, it's really hard to get on the same page, you know, with a couple different QBs in the same season whenever you're not just catching from, like, one guy during game, whenever you have to think about if this guy's, you know, how his velocity is, how his touch is whenever he come out on a break. So it's just kind of, I mean, I think that might have factored in a little bit to him, but I mean, Jared's a great player, and, like, I think just last year was tough for him to get in that rhythm with the different quarterbacks coming in.
So for you guys going through this offseason after what you just said was a hard year for your position group, I assume you pretty quickly realized that, one, this OC really likes using tight ends and really trusts us, and two, we've got a surefire starting quarterback. We know that it's going to be Ken Seals, as you guys learned that and really put it into stone over the summer. Were you all kind of looking at each other as all of that came through one by one and saying, okay, this could be our year?
I mean, I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of positives coming out of the season. I mean, obviously, this is every single year we're going in to see, like, do the best way we can. We come together as a team to try to win as many games as possible. So, like, we felt that we had a lot of new guys coming in who could play ball, who had great attitudes towards the game and love the game. So, like, we're just really trying to just go 1-0 each week. And, like, and we're positive. We liked all the coaching changes and, like, how they all brought a new philosophy and new winning attitude. So we just really kind of got behind that, and we're trying to just go week in, week out, trying to execute our plan and do the best that we can each week and get it with W.
Vandy tight end Ben Bresnahan is our guest. You had the touchdown. That may not have been your best play of the game. You had a first down catch where you stayed in bounds on the sideline, which was pretty impressive. What are you thinking as that play is under review and you're watching it on the scoreboard?
Oh, I mean, I had no doubt that I was in. I mean, there was maybe a chance because I was, like, trying. I saw Stingley right in front of me. I mean, Amir was about to block Stingley out there right in front of me, and I was like, I mean, I could try to cut back, but right as I cut back, I feel like I'm going to be stepping out of bounds. So I was like, I just need to get the first down and get as many yards as I can here. But, yeah, I thought I was pretty confident with me stepping in or me staying in bounds, so I wasn't too worried about the review.
Yeah, I didn't think that even should have gotten reviewed. And then you guys got jobbed on a review later when Mike Wright almost scored, but they were just reviewing a touchdown, and they were a yard and a half off on the spot. That was right before your touchdown, right?
Yeah, that was tough, too, and it was tough because there was, like, the defense they were playing, too. I was lead blocking out there for Mike, and I tried to trip the guy, and Mike dove, and I thought, I mean, me and both Mike thought that he was in, so that was tough. But, I mean, you know, as long as he scored at the end of the day, that was good. We just got to keep the offense rolling.
I don't need you to give the playbook away here, but give me some hope. Ken Seals is in that formation when Mike Wright is in the shotgun. Is there any chance we see Mike Wright throw a touchdown to Ken Seals this year?
Hey, anything's possible. I can't say too much, but you know.
Yes.
Anything is possible.
That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. That's the headline in the paper tomorrow, is that trick play is in the book. All right, coming back this weekend, you've got three of your fellow B last names coming back into the lineup, Devin Boddy, James Bostic, and Keon Henry Brooks, but formerly known as Keon Brooks. So we're going to call you guys the Killer Bees as those three come back in. What does the return of those three, as well as hopefully Amir Abdur-Rahman being a little healthier after last week, add to you guys and hopefully allow you to go a little deeper?
I mean, yeah, you just said it right there, the depth aspect. I mean, that really is huge. Just kind of getting guys in after, I mean, if they're running a couple long routes, like keeping guys' legs fresh and, like, being full speed every single play. So that's huge, that what they bring to the table. All the Bs there, they bring a lot to the table. So that's going to be huge. I mean, a bunch of playmakers in there, a bunch of speed and great hands. So, like, it'll be great to have them back this week.
Final question for Ben Bresnahan, Vandy football tight end. I've heard this from a lot of players before, that 11 a.m. home games is their favorite game time because you just get to wake up and play. Are you one of those people?
Yeah, definitely one of those people. I mean, even though you get a little more time to go over the script or whatever it is, go over the game plan if you got the 6:30 game, but still 11 o'clock game, it's like you just wake up ready to go out there and try to get W, and, like, it's just give it all. And then, you know, that's my main kind of, our main favorite time to play as well.
I'm a Steelers fan, and I remember Heath Miller said one year when the Steelers had a ton of primetime games and 4:15 games, he was, like, complaining about the NFL and all the TV stuff, and he said, "All I wish is for every game to be at 1 o'clock at Heinz Field," and I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, that's. I mean, no, I would agree with him on that. I mean, not Heinz Field, at Vanderbilt here, Dudley, but yeah, definitely for sure.
Maybe we'll play in a bowl game at Heinz Field. We got to get a Pittsburgh bowl game on the schedule. That's my dream.
Yep. Maybe a little snow out there, too.
Yeah, it's already cold, so we'll stay away from that. All right,
sure.
Ben, thanks so much. This was great. Great job so far this season, and enjoy the game against South Carolina.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Have a good one. Thanks for the time.
That's Vandy tight end Ben Bresnahan on the show. Redshirt sophomore, caught his first collegiate touchdown last week. Great to talk to him. We have one of those interviews every Thursday here on the show. As always, want to thank Sarah Fetters and the rest of Vandy's SIDs for helping make those interviews happen. That's every Thursday on the show. Every Monday, we recap the previous week's game. And then we had a bonus episode that came out on Tuesday, October the 6th this week. It was a good one. We don't usually get to talk to the position coaches from the opposing team, but we did this week. But it's a friend of the Doors. Tracy Rocker, noted father of Kamar Rocker, Vanderbilt baseball star. So check out that interview. We previewed the game a little bit, talked about his D-line group going against Vanderbilt's offense and O-line. And then, of course, we talked about his son, who could very well be the first overall pick in the MLB draft this coming July. We did not get our Arrested Development reference in for Ken Seals, a.k.a. Loose Seals, after the LSU game. To be honest, there wasn't much good from the game to play off of for a reference. Trust me, I had plenty, but they didn't really play out as expected. But man, with the Gamecocks cock-a-doodle doing their way into town, we dip back into the AD chicken coop.
Because you're too afraid to ask Sally Sitwell to go with you.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Chicha.
What is that? Is that a chicken?
What's this?
Oh, Michael's scared to ask out Sally.
No, I'm not. Chicha.
Oh, this is priceless.
Go. These aren't even birds. I am not a bird. That's enough.
You're a chicken. Cuckoo-ca-cha. Cuckoo-ca-cha.
What are you doing?
Michael and women? A cuckoo-ca-cha. That's what I was just telling him.
Look, I haven't found the right girl. When I do, I will ask her out. Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken?
Has anyone in this family ever even seen a Gamecock? Or we're going to see him on Saturday. Every time Vanderbilt plays South Carolina in anything, it's just all chicken to me. Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken? So we'll see if Loose Seals can take on the chicken dance in the Arrested Development reference of the week. And there was no cockadoodle doing in that video, which I think is the actual sound chickens make, not anything that the Bluth family came up with. But as always, we consult with the Funky Country Soul, a.k.a. Clyde the Glide Avant, SEC schedule and team nickname expert, as we do every Thursday here on the show. Clyde, who's chicken dancing their way into Vanderbilt Stadium this weekend?
Gamecocks. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. That's their new cheer. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Gamecocks. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Clyde just said, as he was reading all the SEC team names at the SEC basketball tournament, he just said whatever the heck came into his head. I think that was the best one. Gamecocks.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Incredible. We'll see what happens on Saturday. 11 a.m. kickoff, SEC Network. Dave Neal, DJ Shockley, Don Davenport are the TV announcers for that game. Early kick. Ben Bresnahan likes it. All the players do. I don't. But it's okay. It's happened before. It'll happen again. So second straight home game. Somebody is getting their first win. We'll see if it's Vanderbilt or South Carolina. And you can hope that Vanderbilt's healthy again. We talked about it. Devin Boddy is coming back. James Bostic is coming back. Amir Abdur-Rahman is hopefully at full strength. Running back Keon Henry Brooks is ready to make his season debut and hopefully will supersede Jamari Wakefield to be the number two running back behind Javion Marlowe. I'm ready to see the two of those guys trade carries instead of Wakefield being involved in that group. Then also defensive back Brendan Harris will be returning from injury as well, which should help a secondary that struggled to defend the pass against LSU last week. Dimitri Moore returned against LSU. Expect to see even more of him on Saturday. And we'll see what a full-strength Vanderbilt looks like against their first unranked foe. See if things even out a little bit at the Dud on Saturday. We'll talk to you on Monday. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. We air every Monday night over the air on 102.5 The Game from 8 to 9. If you didn't listen to our interview with Tracy Rocker from Tuesday, that was a great one. Whether you're a Vandy football, baseball fan, or both, you do not want to miss that. He was awesome. He had absolutely no obligation to do that interview with me, and he chose to do it, which is great. I've met him and his wife, Lou, a couple of times in person at games before. They obviously get quite a bit of TV time, and we talked about that in the interview. They're not huge fans of it, as you would expect, but it'll be good to see Tracy in his element coaching against the Commodores, as he has the last few years, as he's made many stops in the SEC, most recently with the Vols, now in his first year as the D-line coach for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Clyde the Glide, what does a Gamecock say?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Incredible. Now I kind of want to hear Tracy Rocker say cock-a-doodle-doo. I don't think that's going to happen. Enjoy the game, make a lot of chicken noises, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks again to Brent Bresnahan for joining us. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN. 102.5 The Game.
Gamecocks, cock-a-doodle-doo.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.